Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Start off the show today with a couple of pieces of news. Paris Austin, who last week said he was leaving Boise State to transfer, has surfaced at Cal. So he will have to sit out a year, and then he'll get a chance to play two seasons, Chris, in the Pac-12.
And no disrespect at all to Boise State, but, I mean, when a guy has a chance to get a degree from Cal, can you really blame him? Like, that's the thing. If he did go back with no intention of transferring and then talk to his family, kind of makes a little bit more sense. Like, I'm sure my parents would tell me, hey, you, if there's this opportunity to go get a degree from Cal and play basketball there, you probably should think about that because a degree from Cal means a lot. So in that way, it makes a lot more sense to me.
And, of course, it's in his backyard. He's from Oakland, went to Bishop O'Dowd High School. The player that just left Cal early after 2 years, Ivan Rabb, was a high school teammate. So when they recruited Rabb, you would think that they probably had connections with everybody at Bishop O'Dowd, certainly knew who Paris Austin was. So all the best to Paris. Quickly ends up in the Pac-12 and, again, has to sit out this coming year, and then we'll get a chance to play 2 years starting the following season.
Yeah, no reason to wish anything but the best for Paris Austin. It was entertaining to watch him here at Boise State for the couple of years he was able to produce, including some big moments last year. And an opportunity to play Pac-12 basketball. I'm sure that has to be pretty exciting for him. Unfortunately, it did not work out here, but you hope that Boise State can learn from it if he was really unhappy with his current situation here. But I still haven't necessarily heard anything definitive from Paris to say that he was unhappy with his situation at Boise State. Again, with an opportunity like playing basketball in the Pac-12 for Cal and possibly getting a degree from Cal, that's not... That makes sense.
And it works out for him. You know, you wonder if maybe there was some under-the-table whispering that maybe was before he had the release. But, hey, that happens in college basketball, happens both ways. So, again, Paris leaving Boise State, going to Cal. Now, the first commit for the 2018 recruiting class has been garnered by Boise State. Phillip Mills, who you will hear this afternoon at 4:15 with Caves and Prater. He's a 6'3", 215-pound safety from Paloma Valley High School in Menifee, California. And it's interesting that each of the first three full recruiting classes that Coach Harsin has had, a quarterback has been the first commit. This year, it's defense, a safety that's the first commit.
I might as well go through the list of first commits. I'm sure not everybody knows them right off the top.
All right, so the first commits, full years for Coach Harsin. Last year, the first commit was Chase Cord, quarterback, who was an incoming freshman this year. He committed on May 30th last year, so that was a little bit later, about 2 weeks later than we are today. The first commit in 2016 was Micah Wilson, a quarterback who ended up not signing with Boise State. He late switched to Missouri when they had a coaching change. He was committed on April 26, 2015. The second commit who was held was Chase Satada, a defensive lineman who was committed on May 25, 2015. That would be for the 2016 class. 2015 class, which was Coach Harsin's first full recruiting class, he got his quarterback, Brett Rippon, April 5th. Really early, 2014.
So sets the tone of the class for sure. Now, you know, safety, and just judging by the measurables, 6'3", 200, I mean, that's very
215,
good.
Don't cheat him out of 15 pounds.
Okay, 215. Maybe he ate something really cool the other day and gained some weight. But, yeah, that's what you want, size for safety. So you hope that he stays, again, early in the process. You've documented it. You know, Michael Wilson didn't even end up being here at Boise State, so you hope that the Broncos are able to retain Phillip Mills, and it also does kind of add in a little bit of a what if there's an earlier recruiting signing day and you have to have less of a time to try to hold on to a recruit like this than what you would have currently with the current signing day situation. And that's one of the things that's on the NCAA docket for, you know, trying to move that up and seeing how that will affect things in the college football landscape.
Beat out Air Force, assuming the signing takes place. Army, New Mexico, Wyoming, Hawaii, San Diego State, and Washington State. So a pretty good group of teams had also offered Phillip Mills. Again, you can hear him with Caves and Prater today at 4:15. Basketball, last night, close game, expected to be close. 7-game series, home team wins everyone. Boston prevails against Washington. Are they the sacrificial lamb despite being the number one seed against Cleveland? I was looking online, Chris. They are the one seed, yet they are an underdog at the start of betting, plus 425 for the Celtics to minus 550 for Cleveland, and it's gone up or down depending on how you want to look at it. It's now Cleveland minus 900 and Boston plus 600.
Kind of ridiculous, right?
For the number one seed. I can honestly say, Chris, in all the years that I've watched sports, I can never remember a one seed in a playoff being that big of an underdog to a two seed. There have been times where the one seed has not been favored, but this is a Herculean test for the Celtics, in my opinion. They finished ahead of the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Cavaliers 3 out of 4 times, correct?
Yep.
The Cavaliers on a big game that looked late in the season looked super against the Celtics. The Celtics, though, won more games, which is kind of hard to believe when you watch these rosters. And maybe they won more games because the Cavaliers really didn't care whether they finished first or second.
They were more concerned with, let's have a fresh LeBron James. But it goes to the fact where, even watching that Game 7 yesterday and the Celtics winning it, John Wall having a disappearing act in the fourth quarter, missing 7 3-pointers late in that game. More importantly, why was he taking 7 3-pointers late in that game? But it's still, I look at this Boston Celtics roster, and I'm still amazed on how they're even at this point. This is not a very good roster. This might be a good team. There's no way that this is a very good team on paper. Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, Gerald Green, Al Horford, Amir Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, of course Isaiah Thomas, but those are your rotation players. What about that says conference finalist? What about that says number one seed? So that's why you have a historic underdog for a one seed against the number two in a conference final, because even though they've gotten to this point, it still doesn't feel like it's real. I still think they would have lost to the Chicago Bulls if Rajon Rondo didn't get hurt. Remember, they were down 2 games to nothing.
That was a gift for him.
Smoke and mirrors, and Brad Stevens, I'll give him credit. I don't like him because he was a coach at Butler and beat a Syracuse team that I really liked in the NCAA tournament. But I can admit he's a very good coach because he's doing a lot with a little. But you just take a look at the Eastern Conference, and this is the one thing that the people who are critical of LeBron and you really don't have a retort about is the Eastern Conference has not been strong in LeBron James's run to what looks like it's going to be 7 straight NBA Finals. Took down some of the list of Western Conference teams that have been on the doorstep within the last 7 years and Eastern Conference teams that have been on the doorstep within the last 7 years. There's really no comparison. I can get to the details a little bit more later.
All right, let's go to Brian. Brian wants to join us. You can join us on the Fresh Never Frozen Domino's hotline. Hang on 1 second. 424-9300. Go ahead, Brian.
Come on, really? If you guys can't see that the Cleveland Cavaliers purposely tanked the number one seed to, like you said, give LeBron some rest, plus the three teams that were in that bracket all played the Cavaliers tough. You had Chicago, Washington, and Boston. Now they've essentially had 8 practice games. They're well rested. And don't go besmirching the Eastern Conference. Who exactly is Golden State beat? First year they went through, San Antonio got knocked out, and so did the Clippers. They knocked each other out. This year, every team they played, their superstar has been hurt. So who have they played? Let's just cut to the crap and get to Golden State, beat Cleveland, and get on with it. We don't even need these finals.
Love the fire. Love the fast vibe.
Thanks,
that call. Thanks. Now, I'm glad
great.
You listened to the show the other day because I mentioned with the Golden State asterisks, because their championship a couple of years ago, people are saying that it doesn't really count because they faced a bunch of injured teams en route to winning the championship. And this year, they faced a Blazers squad that was missing their center. They faced a Jazz team that, again, nobody really thought the Jazz were necessarily a contender this year, but they were also missing their point guard in George Hill. So you can make the same case, but I could just go out the list of the depth of the Western Conference and the players who have been a part of that the last 7 years. Hall of Famers on the Spurs, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard. They've been a factor year in and year out. The Thunder, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. They've been a factor. Those three guys you'd think would be Hall of Famers at this point. Warriors, Steph Curry, Draymond, Clay, Durant, Iguodala, all those guys have been at least all-stars, and depending on their, how the rest of their careers go, four of those could probably be Hall of Famers. The Clippers, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and they can't even get to the Western Conference Finals, and they have those three guys who are, what, top 15 guys in the league? The Rockets, James Harden, Dwight Howard, they got to the Western Conference Finals a year, and you know this was a Dwight Howard that was back in his athletic prime, at least towards the tail end of it. Meanwhile, in that same time span, you look at the Eastern Conference. These are the best players in the East during the LeBron era. Outside of LeBron, Paul George, maybe on the level of some of those guys on the opposite side. Al Horford and Jeff Teague from those Atlanta squads. The Celtics with Isaiah Thomas, the 5'7" guard, who's, again, he's entertaining, but you put him in the West, is he in front of Chris Paul for point guards? I don't think so. A Celtics team, you have to go all the way back when they had Pierce, Allen, Garnett, Rondo. That's when you're talking about a star-studded Eastern Conference team that could finish a runner-up to LeBron. Outside of that, you're looking at pretty, compared to the West, slightly above average players.
So we're expecting a very quick series, probably on both sides now that we've gotten to the conference finals. Get the best of Sports Radio The Ticket with the must-have ticket app at iTunes or KTIK.com. Access social media posts, live broadcast, featured interviews and conversations, as well as entire shows. It's an Idaho sports lover's dream. Download the Sports Radio The Ticket app today. When we come back tonight, it's the NBA Draft Lottery. What are they playing for? A draft expert will join us next when Idaho Sports Talk continues on Sports Radio The Ticket. Idaho Sports Talk. Bob and Chris, along with Fish on the other side of the glass, here until 3. Caves and Prater will take over. Boise State's first commit of the 2018 recruiting season. Phillip Mills will be on with them today at 4:15. NBA Draft Lottery is tonight. And joining us is Chip Williams of NBADraftBlog.com. Chip, how good is this draft, and how important is it to see your numbers come up as number one?
Thanks for having me, first of all, guys. I appreciate it. This is a fantastic draft. I think especially if you're in need of a point guard, you've got the right draft to have, you know, a top five pick. Getting the number one pick, in my opinion, though, is extremely important. Well, I think there are a lot of good players at the top, and it's a relatively deep draft. I think if you have a lottery pick, you feel very good about getting a really talented starter, rotation-level player. There's one guy, in my opinion, that's above all, and that's Markelle Fultz. I know we'll probably talk about him a little bit more, but he is the clear-cut number one guy for me, and I think most people feel that way.
All right, let's do it. Let's get right to the Markelle Fultz against, I suppose, Lonzo Ball. That's been the debate for at least the last couple of months, ever since the NCAA tournament, that Markelle Fultz wasn't even in. So a lot of people who tune into college basketball around that time didn't even see him play. So what makes him, to you, the superior prospect?
Sure. You know, it's been tough, I guess, the last couple of drafts, if you're one of those that doesn't really check out college basketball until around the March Madness time, because, you know, last year you had Ben Simmons go number one, LSU missed the tournament. This year, Markelle Fultz, I think most people, if you ask them, they would have him going number one, and Washington missed the tournament. So for me, Fultz is such a talented player. I mean, the thing that separates him, I think, from the pack is that he really has no discernible weakness in his game. He can score at all three levels. He can distribute. The thing that just really jumps out, though, while watching him play is the guy can flat-out score off the dribble. And in today's NBA, being able to create your own shot, it's huge because you look at the way NBA's play today, guys are putting, you know, teams are having four shooters really on the floor at all times. So if you put Fultz out there, who is able to knock down over 40% of his threes this year, as a guy who can then also create his own shot off the dribble at any given time, he has real star potential. I mean, multiple-time all-star potential. I know that, you know, there's a lot of hype around Lonzo Ball, obviously with his dad, creating the big baller brand. And Lonzo's a good prospect. I have him number two on my board. They're just, you know, Lonzo struggles a little bit with getting past guys, especially elite defenders. And then also the jump shot. It is, you know, it is kind of a funky release that is low. And I think there are real question marks. How effective is that going to be at the NBA level?
Chip Williams, NBA draft blog, joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. And you brought up, you know, how Fultz wasn't in the tournament. Simmons wasn't in the tournament last year, and it was still the first overall pick. About Simmons, like, where would he fit if he were in this draft?
That's a great question. I think he'd be right there up with the number two pick. I actually have Fultz as a little bit better of a prospect than him. But the thing with Simmons is he can't shoot, and that's what he's going to have to work on to really unlock his full potential as a basketball player. But he can do the rest of everything. I mean, he is your ideal playmaking forward. Josh Jackson is another guy that's going to be in contention for that number two pick. Maybe even some teams, depending on who wins the lottery, the number one pick. I like Ben Simmons a little bit better than Josh Jackson. But he's right there. He would be right there with Lonzo Ball and Josh Jackson, in my opinion.
All right. If the numbers come out tonight, most teams are going to probably take Fultz, as you said. Is there anybody out there that if they go one, you think they do not take Fultz and go for Ball or somebody else?
I think the Lakers. I think if they got the number one pick, they would go ahead and pull the trigger on Lonzo Ball. Just because, you know, you look at the Lakers, they are not like every other franchise in the NBA. It's a little bit, they are a star-driven team, and obviously Lonzo Ball has made himself a star, even though it's funny because he's a relatively quiet guy. He's not this big, brash guy like his father is, but the fact that he's had all this media hype, his father seems to make it very clear that, you know, regardless of who drafts, if they want to play for the Lakers. So I almost wonder if that could scare some teams away from Lonzo, knowing that, you know, we may have him for 4 years, but once he hits free agency, he may force his way to L.A. He may force his way to L.A., you know, quickly after being drafted during his rookie contract. You just never know. So it would not shock me if the Lakers did end up picking Lonzo Ball. But for me, I haven't heard necessarily anyone. I just think that there's just no weakness in his game, other than the only real concern that people bring up is the fact that there were times at Washington where he just looked a little bit checked out. But, you know, he played on a 9-win team, no fault of his own. It's hard to blame him. And that's, I guess, something that teams will figure out over the course of this pre-draft process. This is why interviews are so important, that Markel can really prove to teams that, you know, I'm not normally like that. I just was playing for a bad coach on a bad team, and so from time to time he checked out. But it's funny, when he checks out, you know, he still goes and scores 25.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris. Chip Williams, NBADraftBlog.com is our guest. Any chance that Lonzo and the Ball family pull an Elway?
I'm sorry.
Is there any chance that the Balls decide to pull an Elway and refuse to sign with whoever would take him if it's not the Lakers?
Yes, absolutely. That is 100% on the table. I mean, can you what this guy has done so far, I mean, can you put anything past
no.
him? No. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just don't know. And I think that is a real thing, that it is going to scare some teams away, and that they would absolutely force their way to L.A. because, you know, the Balls have two more sons coming up. One of them's going to be at UCLA next year. They are just a L.A. family, and they want Lonzo to play for the Lakers at all costs, it sounds like.
All right, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and, you know, the Sixers are the one team in this lottery who had the opportunity to have two picks within the top six of this draft. They could also just have the sixth pick in this draft. So it's a lot of volatility coming up with the lottery. If you're a Sixers fan like myself, should you hope for the number one pick? Is that more valuable than having two in the top six or the number one overall? What should I be hoping for?
I think that you would probably shoot for, I don't know. I will say neither one is a bad scenario, but I think getting the number one pick with Fultz would be great, just because Philly is a point guard away right now. And this may sound a little hot take-ish or crazy, but I think Fultz could have come straight out of high school and been a top 25 point guard in the NBA, starting level quality point guard last year. I mean, that's just how good he is right now. And I think he's going to continue to get better and reach that star level. And I think that would be huge for Philadelphia if you were able to pair him with what you've already got there with Dario Saric and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I mean, I know several of those guys recovering from injuries, but that is an extremely strong nucleus of young players that you can really build around. If you don't, if you end up with two in the top six, like you were mentioning, you know, then you end up with, Dennis Smith and Jonathan Isaac, or you end up with even Lonzo Ball and, Lauri Markkanen, and something like that. Two very good players that are going to continue to be big building blocks for that franchise.
Where does the drop-off occur? Where do you not want to be below to get an all-star kind of player? Because it seems like there's a lot of all-stars in this draft this year.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a little bit lower on Lauri Markkanen than a lot of people. There are many that have him, you know, solidly in the top 10. I have him as my 10th overall player. I have Zach Collins from Gonzaga slotted just one spot ahead. I really like those top nine guys. I think another guy that maybe could slide into that top 10 is OG Anunoby from Indiana, especially if you project him as a power forward. The measurements at the combine were very good for a guy that wants to do a 6'8 with over 7 foot wingspan. So I think that you could really look at that top 10 and think you're getting an extremely good player. Kind of a high variance guy there is Malik Monk. I think he's probably a Jamal Crawford type player. You know, worst case scenario, he's probably your sixth man and have a good scoring punch off the bench, but he could also pop and show a consistent jumper. And all of a sudden he's made two or three all-stars throughout his career. So there are just a lot of really solid players, especially in that top 10. And honestly, if you're in the lottery, as long as you are in maybe the top 12, I think you feel really good about the player you're going to be drafting.
I feel like one of the names that we haven't brought up who's in that mix of the top 10 area is a guy like Jason Tatum, where you hadn't seen him as much at Duke. He had an injury early on in the year. When he played, he showed some NBA-type post moves from the high post. What do you think of a guy like Jason Tatum, and how do you evaluate him with the limited sample size?
Right, it is tough. And his teammate, you know, Harry Giles, who I think if you had asked me a year ago who's going to be the number one pick in the 2017 draft, his name would have been the ones that I brought up. Those two Duke guys, I mean, Giles, I think, is so far back that he'd be lucky to get drafted in the top 20. But Tatum is securely, in my opinion, in the top five. I view him as the type of prospect that's going to be maybe a Danny Granger, a big, long wing that can score at, you know, all three levels, being able to post up. He's a little thin right now to post up. You know, you think that when it's going to be his full-time job to be a basketball player, he'll be able to add some weight. I've heard some people bring up a Rudy Gay comparison. I'm not sure he's quite the athlete that Rudy is, and he's probably a little bit better of a more efficient scorer, I should say, than Rudy. And that's kind of where I land on him with a Danny Granger comparison. But I think he could be a very good player and a very good scorer, especially, you know, if he ended up, you know, say with the Philadelphia, where he's going to have the opportunity to take several shots. That's another thing. Tatum and Malik Monk, those guys are going to they're going to be given a green light, you hope, as rookies, to really work out the kinks in their offensive game so that year three, year four, and beyond, they're really going to feel comfortable with where they are in their offensive skill set.
Chip, thanks so much for your time. Outstanding. We'll see who gets the numbers to fall their way for the lottery tonight, and then we'll start thinking about who's going to go where. Love to have you back as we get a little closer to the draft as well.
That would be great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And that's Chip Williams, NBA Draft Blog. He's got a lot of information there. Mm-hmm. Seems like people are going to have good picks. I think the most fascinating thing is our team's going to pass on Ball if they're afraid that the Lakers might try to get him to hold out.
We'll delve into it a little bit more later, but fingers crossed, Black Eyed Peas on the docket. I need some luck today. Some luck.
It's happening at halftime of the game? No,
pregame.
So which is what time?
Is it 5? 5 our time.
So if you hear a loud yell around 5 o'clock and you don't know what it's for, it could be from Chris's house coming for the celebration for the Sixers.
Yeah, because there's a couple of, like, number one or two in the top six. There's a couple of them that could get me hyped.
Fish, what do we got in the update coming up?
Well, we've got a future Bronco heading from the state of California over and a former Bronco heading back to the state of California to play some basketball in the Pac-12.
All right, time now for touchdowns for tickets. Be the ninth caller right now to try to qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets. These tickets tonight are in section 31, row O, which is in the southeast end zone, east corner, about halfway up. Fun section to sit in. You get a great view of the video board. And it's sponsored by the Bronco Athletic Association. We thank them for partnering with us for this contest. These tickets are worth $580 for the pair. Call 424-9300 now. Again, ninth caller to play touchdowns for tickets next. Boy, the phones were hopping. When you got a great prize, people get excited. Bob Beeler, Chris Lewis, back here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Second day of touchdowns for tickets. Not as easy to play as people thought. Yesterday it was 2 for 5.
Yeah, Bob, are you not giving enough people enough information on their calls? Is it your fault as a play-by-play announcer? Should they know that a touchdown is imminent or not imminent?
But I don't know whether they were guessing yes or no.
Yeah,
so.
They should know.
All right. Let's get to Kermit. Kermit is on the phone. Our first contestant. We'll have another contestant next hour on Touchdowns for Tickets. Kermit, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, Kermit. Which one of the games, before we actually get to playing it, which one of the home games is the top one on your list? I mean, of course, with this prize, you get them all, but there has to be number one on the list.
Of all time?
No, this year.
This year on the home schedule.
Oh, just this last year.
No, the one's coming. The ones you might be winning tickets to.
Oh, I'd like to see. I'm not sure if they're coming here this year, this coming season or not, but I'd like to see Air Force.
They're coming. Are. Last game of the season. I rated that as the best game of the year. So we'll see. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to play part of one of my calls. We're going to stop it before we get to the conclusion, and then you're going to have to say whether it was a touchdown or not. All right, Fish, roll the play.
McNichols in the backfield just left of Rippon. Hand off to McNichols. He'll sweep the right side. Breaks a couple of tackles. Gets to the sidelines.
All right. What do you think? He's to the sidelines. Is he going to get to the pylon and score?
No.
McNichols in the backfield just left of Rippon. Hand off to McNichols. He'll sweep the right side. Breaks a couple of tackles. Gets to the sidelines. And he'll get 20 yards on the play. Out to the 32-yard line.
Nice
ding,
going.
Ding, ding, ding. Congrats.
Anything in there that tipped it that he wasn't getting in? Was I maybe not as excited looking forward as Chris said? Maybe you can figure my voice?
I think I remember hearing that play. I'm not sure. There was a couple of them when he was on the sidelines, but it was basically a wild guess.
Well, it was a right wild guess.
There you go.
All right, cool.
So remember, 5:30, or yeah, was it 5:30?
5:30 tonight
on
Idaho
Sports Talk.
So be listening next hour, another chance, and then 5:30 every day. Caves and Prater will draw from the people who have qualified. Get your season tickets now. It gives you the best pricing per game, gives you the best seats, opportunities to purchase additional tickets to home games, plus road games and bowl games as well. It's Touchdown for Tickets on your FM home of Boise State Football, Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
End of the sports update. We'll start with some Boise State news. Paris Austin, the former Bronco guard, has announced on his Twitter that he is heading to the Pac-12. He's going to go play at Cal. He has 2 years of eligibility left. However, he will have to sit out this coming season. He does have a red shirt to use there. So Paris Austin headed to Cal, playing in the Pac-12.
Which would mean, like, I don't know what his academic situation is, but I mean, 4 years, his fourth year would be the year that he first plays. So I don't know if you know, he'll be able to wrap up a degree by that time after his first year playing at Cal. But if so, I mean, that's, you know, something to be commended for, making a decision where, okay, a degree at Cal.
Pretty good.
Does
degree
mean
at Boise State, degree
bit.
Anywhere is good. But Cal's good.
Cal's,
and he goes to the Pac-12.
So you can see why it makes sense.
And while he's heading to California, Boise State looks to be adding in football, a recruit from the state of California, Philip Mills, a safety out of the state, committed to Boise State, their first commit for 2018. He visited the Broncos back in April and then tweeted out earlier today that he's committing. He's a safety, and he had offers from New Mexico, San Diego State, Wyoming, Air Force, and Army. Mills will be on Idaho Sports Talk today at 4:15 with Caves and Prater to explain his decision.
And again, each of the last three seasons, the first recruit that Coach Harsin has had, and we're speaking of the full recruiting seasons, has been a quarterback. First time it's been a non-quarterback that's committed first, and the measurables look good size-wise, also with 57 tackles, and looks to be well thought of playing with safety, which is a key position on the defense.
And Brian Humphrey, the Boise State golfer, is in the second round of the NCAA Regional Tournament at the Stanford Golf Course. Yesterday, Humphrey shot a 7 over 77. However, today, he's 1 under par, and he's currently tied for 56, so it looks like he's turning around. He's got 9 more holes left to play today, and the third round concluding the tournament tomorrow.
Spoke with Dan Potter this morning on Bronco Tuesday over on KBOI at 8:30, and he said that Humphrey's yesterday wasn't up to his normal snuff on putting and wedge shots or short game, and felt that they did a few things afterwards to work on that, and thought it would be better today. And you say he's 1 under par compared to 7 over, I'd say it's helped.
Yeah.
We need to work on those coughing corners, making able to place
that's
it inside
probably why
the 20.
Started out so
place it right up against the pin, give you a little 2-foot putt, a little better than trying to sink one from 20.
And Boise State softball senior Cressida Washington was named the Mountain West Player of the Week for the second time this season. Washington went 2-0 in a three-game sweep of New Mexico, going 13 innings while only giving up one run in two games. The Broncos softball team making their first postseason appearance today against Weber State in the postseason National Invitational Softball Championship.
And it's the first time they've ever had an NIT for softball. Washington, I would assume, would go today in game one. We had Cindy Ball also on that program this morning. She was a little noncommittal, but come on. You got to go with your ace in the first game of the tournament in softball.
You also talked to President Trump. I mean, how many leaders are you going to talk to? You're talking to everybody on that show.
Didn't get Trump.
Okay, good.
But he did have the Liberty schedule, by the way, when he spoke at their graduation. Did you see that?
I did see. You sent that note along to me, actually.
And speaking of Liberty, they are in the process of becoming an FBS independent starting in 2018. Trump announced their schedule, and their first home opener in 2018 will be against an FBS opponent. All it took was $1.3 million to schedule the powerhouse that is Old Dominion. According to the Virginian Pilot, the Flames AD said the school could afford that price thanks to a seven-figure contract to play a Power 5 school later that year. So there you go. If you want to play a home game or your first game in the FBS, all cash, $1.3 million.
Well, I can't believe that Old Dominion could garner $1.3 million from anybody that they could play. Would you?
Nah, man, that's...
Did many people know Old Dominion was an FBS school?
They were a nothing until about 5 years ago. They didn't have a team, and they started football. I think they played FCS for 2 years and then moved up. That's a lot of cash to give somebody that probably isn't a big name. I would have thought if you told me that they had $1.3 million to spend, I would have thought maybe you could have gotten a mid-level, the lower-level ACC or SEC team to come in there.
Where's Syracuse at? Hey, you could take a $1.3 million. Where you at, Hughes?
And speaking of generating cash, Tim Tebow, he might not be lighting up single-A pitching. However, he's helping fill the seats. Maybe that's why they got him. According to the South Atlantic League and Baseball America, they used the April attendance records to show that Tebow, when he appears at a stadium, brings an additional 2,200 fans a night. Minor league teams estimate the average fan spends about $20 at a game, meaning Tim Tebow per night is worth $44,200 to whatever stadium he plays at.
Would not dispute that. If you're getting that, you figure probably, what, $8, $10 a ticket maybe? Maybe $5 a ticket,
and
everybody spends some food.
Soda.
And you could prove the difference in number of people coming to the ballpark when he's in there. I think it's a bigger difference. As we talked to your friend that announces for the Fireflies, says much bigger difference on the road, really.
Yeah, it says on the road it becomes a bigger show, and it adds to his responsibilities as being the guy who has to facilitate a lot of the media responsibilities. Now, I think if you buy a ticket to a Tim Tebow game, what are you hoping to see? You want to see him get a homer?
No, I just think you just want to see Tim Tebow.
You want to just get a selfie? Like, what's the ultimate goal of
a picture, I would assume, of him at bat.
Okay.
Just one picture. I was there.
Do you save the ticket?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if he's doing the same thing. When Bo Jackson played, when I was in the Southern League, he was in the league the same year. He would sign autographs after every game, and the home team would be responsible for getting him back to the hotel. So people started lining up about the eighth inning on the walkway that kind of led down to the back end of the dugout. He would sign for everybody and leave. I wonder if Tebow's doing that.
I wonder if it's the selfie instead of signing.
Probably the selfie,
Take the selfie. All right, keep the line moving. Another selfie. Keep the line moving.
And the positive note for the South Atlantic League, Tim Tebow's only hitting .236. So we'll probably remain there for a time to come.
And all the teams that are coming on the schedule are thrilled, especially when they're there. Tickets are on sale now for the 4th annual Jackson's Country Stomp. It'll take place Friday, August the 4th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. It'll be starring Jake Owen with special guests Cassidy Pope and Neil McCoy. You can get your tickets at any Jackson's food store and receive a $5 discount through Wednesday, May the 31st with a qualifying purchase of a special Miller, Coors, or Pepsi product. Quick Hits is coming up next. I'll have a unique take on what's going to happen Monday Night Football's opening weekend in September. That's next when Idaho Sports Talk continues on Sports Radio The Ticket. Time now for Quick Hits, where Chris and I tackle four topics in rapid-fire fashion. Let's go!
Topic number one.
All right, big question. How can the Spurs win Game 2 tonight if they don't have Kawhi Leonard?
Well, remember, the Spurs did have a game where they won without Kawhi Leonard by 40 points against a good team in the NBA.
The Rockets were a good team this year, and they lost by 40 in Houston to a Kawhi-less San Antonio Spurs. So to just say, okay, if he doesn't play today and he's doubtful that they have no shot at winning, I think I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to just say that they can't win the game. Now, the Spurs, for 2.5 quarters of that game, excellent defensively. Now, Kawhi is a big part of their D, but they have an excellent team defensive scheme where they're able to run out on a lot of those screens off ball that the Warriors set and get them out of their flow, is what Steve Kerr likes to call it on offense. And Jonathan Simmons is capable of doing a lot of the things, maybe not to the level and consistency that Kawhi can do, but for a game, for stretches, Jonathan Simmons in the starting lineup can do it. So then you go to the other side, offensively. Now, how do you make up for what Kawhi can do on offense? Well, you have to really turn the clock back to systematic Spurs basketball. It can't be as much ISO, because when you have Kawhi, he's a really good ISO player, and they turn into that. But they have a lot of the members of the squad who still know how that pace and space and move the ball. Danny Green off of screens. Tony Parker was there for a lot of it. Now, of course, he's out, so Patty Mills has to take that spot, but I think he's capable of doing it. So I'm not saying the Spurs are going to win, but I don't think it's impossible for them to win this.
And I think it's better for them knowing from the end of the game that they're probably not going to have him. You could plan for it. I think it was such a shock when he went out. I think they were mad, as you could tell from Popovich's reaction. So I think that they'll be a little more ready with a game plan that might be a little more suited to playing without him tonight.
Topic number two.
There's a significance about the Chargers-Broncos opening Monday Night Football game. What is significant about it?
Well, ESPN has announced that Beth Mowins will be the first woman to call play-by-play for a national TV NFL game in 30 years. Gail Sirens called the Seahawks-Chiefs game back in December of 87. She was offered six more games in 88, but she was a local anchor in Tampa, and her station made her turn it down, not wanting her to miss newscasts. Mowins is a pro. She's done all kinds of things for ESPN. She's also done Raiders preseason plus college football. To me, the one that you're going to put the spotlight on, or should, is going to be your color commentator, who to date has never done a game before. I'm not talking about Tony Romo. I'm talking about Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is going to be making his debut in the booth with Beth Mowins. I hope they get a chance to call a preseason game, at least one, together.
What do you think about this trend of color announcers not having to really do anything to just walk into the booth and get these primetime gigs? You got Rex Ryan here doing a Monday Night Football game. Jay Cutler stepping into the number two team at Fox. Tony Romo is the number one team at CBS. Like, this is kind of nuts.
Smaller scale, but most everybody that I have ever worked with is a former player for the schools I've worked with, and they have never called a game before doing their first game. We've done countless taped broadcasts where we say, sit on the couch in my living room, put a game on TV, put it up on the screen, and practice calling. I'm sure ESPN will do something like that with Ryan, CBS, and Fox will do the same thing with Romo and Cutler.
No disrespect, but like, this isn't the national game of the week in the NFL. Like, there's something to be said for it. This is a national game of the week in the NFL, and you're having people do these games who just have never done games before.
You would never do it on the play-by-play side.
Mm-mm.
Topic number three.
All right, Chris, what team should LeVar Ball, that's the father, hope that his son Lonzo eventually gets drafted by?
This was a conversation that me and Fisher had on the podcast at KTIK.com. But we thought it through. We did our LeVar Ball destination rankings. And a sneaky team on this list, of course, he's always clapping for the Lakers. But the Sacramento Kings secretly should be a squad. Now, they also have a dilemma, the Kings, and the fact that if they got the number one pick, it goes to the Sixers because of a pick swap that Sam Hinkie orchestrated. But think about it here. The Sacramento Kings have no direction as a franchise. Their GM is Vlade Divac, who has shown that he might not be the best at this. Their owner is somebody who is on record of saying he wanted his team to play 4-on-5 basketball, where he has basically a cherry picker on one end of the court and have a 4-on-5 on defense on the other side. I feel like if LeVar or Lonzo Ball went there, it wouldn't be too far-fetched for, in 4 years, the rest of the Ball kids end up on Sacramento because they're not any good in 3 or 4 years. So the rest of the Ball kids, if they're draft picks, they can still go to the Sacramento Kings. And why not? LeVar could be their coach. Because who else is going to want to coach the Sacramento Kings in 3 or 4 years if their owner is still their owner and Vlade Divac is still their GM? So the long play here is for Lonzo to be a member of the Kings. They're still bad. They get LaMelo and whoever the other. Who's the other kid again? LiAngelo, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually LaVar Ball is the head coach, and you could just run their AAU system, which is kind of like a 4-on-5 basketball. So it's almost a perfect match.
I don't know what I could say. That's well thought out. Nice job.
Topic number 4.
What has surprised you the most about this baseball season?
Well, the best team has been the Houston Astros. They've got the best record in baseball by 3 games. They've won 27, lost 12. They just came off beating the Yankees 3 out of 4 at Yankee Stadium. Josh Reddick leads the team in average at 295. They have 8 hitters in their order that are hitting 270 or better, so they're hitting 273 as a team. Pitching has been outstanding as well, 3.5 for a team ERA. Dallas Keuchel going tonight for his 10th straight win dating back to last year. He's 6-0 with a 1.69 ERA going against the Marlins. Fish, I think your team gets beat tonight by Keuchel.
You're not wrong. They're going to get destroyed.
Okay. If you have no confidence in your team, I said any of us.
The Nationals have been off to a great start. The Yankees have played well. Maybe the team that I'm wondering where they are or how they've got where they are. I think the Astros you thought would be good. I didn't think they'd be this good. Some of their new pickups. Gurriel, the guy from Cuba, and Reddick, who kind of cast off like an old shoe, have done pretty well. Minnesota somehow in first place in the American League Central.
Yeah, I think you're wrong on the biggest surprise, but I'll get to it after this.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris on 93.1 The Ticket.
Colorado being in first place in the NL West is the biggest surprise in baseball, right? Like, nobody thought that was even possible. We all thought that it was, okay, the Dodgers, and if it's not the Dodgers, it's the Giants, and even the Diamondbacks have spent a lot of money recently. Nobody was thinking the Colorado Rockies would be up there. And now they're an NL West team, so I know you know quite a bit about them. But when we're talking surprises in baseball, I know they don't have a great run differential so far, and that leads you to think that they might come back to the pack. But that's, to me, a shocker.
Still early. They lead the Dodgers by 2, the Diamondbacks by 2.5, and woohoo, the Giants, with their 4-game winning streak, have come out of last place. When we come back, hour number 2 will give you another chance to qualify for touchdowns for tickets and NBA lottery. Why Chris is excited and what he'll do to be lucky next on Sports Radio The Ticket. News of the day, Paris Austin, who last week announced that he was transferring, has surfaced. He will play at Cal, having to sit out a year, and then he'll have 2 years to go for the Pac-12 school. And Boise State football has its first commit for the 2018 recruiting class. It'll be Phillip Mills, a 6'3", 215-pound safety out of Paloma Valley High School in Menifee, California, turning down Air Force, Army, New Mexico, Wyoming, Hawaii, San Diego State, and Washington State. You can hear from him today at 4:15 from Caves and Prater.
A lot of turned down upset schools. So looking forward to hearing what he has to say on Idaho Sports Talk a little bit later on today. And then as for the Paris Austin situation, I hope there's no resentment from the Boise State fans about Paris, because, you know, you got to see him play for a couple of years, and he provided some great moments for Boise State basketball for a couple of seasons, including last year where he was one of the main contributors in Mountain West play when Boise State exceeded expectations in the Mountain West. So you wish him the best.
And we'll see. That gives openings for other players on the roster, guys like Marcus Dickinson, probably a point guard. We'll see more minutes, opportunity for somebody else. There's a couple of other scholarships now that are out there for Boise State, so we'll see where they go fishing for that.
Sengfelder, right? He's going to be a part of the mix.
Well, he's an inside guy. He's a shooter, but he's a big guy.
I see points per game available
yes.
when you have Paris Austin leaving. What was it, like 12? Points per game. That there, somebody needs to keep up the scoring, and it's not all going to come from a guard position. So there's, if you, and Nick Duncan's point total too will probably be eaten up by Sengfelder if that indeed happens to be the case for Boise State basketball next year.
So we'll see where the next news from Boise State basketball. Also, we'll have to replace an assistant coach, John Riley, announcing yesterday over the weekend he's going to Cal Santa Barbara. So a couple of more players may be coming in, and hopefully Leon Rice will speak with us in the media sometime this week.
Just like Coach Rice likes it, right? Lots of reasons for you to doubt the team. Lots of reasons where expectations are going to be maybe a little bit lower than you'd think. And then he goes out here and exceeds all the expectations, right? That's kind of the playbook, right?
It is,
you know, think as high as Boise State basketball as some of the other teams in this league, and then come the end of the season, they're, you know,
they're right there
for a top 4 spot.
Yeah, and playing in postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, NBA draft lottery tonight, followed by the Warriors and the Spurs game 2. All right, Chris, we know you're a Sixer fan.
Yep.
What will you do tonight? Will there be something that you will eat? Will there be something you will wear? Is there something you will have in your pocket? Is there something you will hold on to?
I want to know other people's, like, lucky rituals, because I'm willing to listen to other people, because I've never had, like, lucky underwear. I've never had that. Don't plan on starting to go with the lucky underwear.
Okay.
Or lucky socks. I was taught the Black Eyed Peas gives you good luck for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Not
That's
listening
true.
To the Black Eyed Peas music, because, I mean, you can listen to that music if you want, but eating the Black Eyed Peas. So I was thinking about making Black Eyed Peas for dinner. I need to get some salt pork to go along with it, and that'd be a fantastic little side dish for a dinner meal that I hope brings me pretty good luck. I'm not somebody who walks into a casino backwards. I know that's a thing that people do for luck, you know, to try to win some money in a casino. You go to Vegas a couple of times a year for all your Mountain West.
Well, if something what happens tonight works, let me know, because I wouldn't mind using it in Vegas when they're down there for the Mountain West Media Days or Mountain West Tournament or something like that. Fish, you do anything for luck?
Usually if there's an outfit that I have good luck with, I'll try and wear it again.
Okay.
Which was my biggest regret from the Madden tournament. Won two games, changed outfits, didn't
Ooh.
Win another game.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
So I'll throw them in the wash, put the same outfit on. That's my luck, but I don't know if you've had luck in the past, Chris. So,
Is it like, do you put one shoe on before the other just because it's a ritual? Like, there's a difference between, I guess, rituals and superstition and luck, right?
Well, I always put my left shoe on first.
Okay.
But I think it's because you read left to right. I don't do it for, if I do the right or whatever, it's just, I go left to right.
You played baseball back in the day, right?
Little yeah. League?
Did you make sure you avoided the first baseline if you were going out to the field?
No. Maybe that's why I wasn't any good.
It's funny how these things are out there. And now these NBA teams, they're sending people who are used to having power to the lottery proceedings to overlook what happens and represent their franchise. Like Magic Johnson, for example, is going to be the Lakers representative there, which...
He's going to be the one sitting or the one in the room watching?
The one sitting. He's going to be the one sitting.
I'd rather be the one watching.
Correct, because you want to make sure they don't pull any funny business.
Exactly.
But yeah, Magic Johnson is going to be the front face of the Lakers. Now, my question to you is, since you saw basketball in the 80s, have you seen Magic Johnson without a smile?
Never. But what if they don't get a pick?
Exactly. Yeah. Is this the first time you can see Magic Johnson without a smile on his face? If that card gets revealed and it's at 4, which means that they don't get their pick, it goes to the Sixers because it's top 3 protected. The Lakers, if they're in the top 3, it's theirs. If it's not, then it belongs to Philly. That would be the first time that I could remember seeing Magic Johnson without a smile on his face. So I can't wait for that reaction. That would be fantastic.
And because not only would that mean that you've wiped the smile off Magic's face, you put it on your own.
Exactly. By the way, Joel Embiid is representing the Sixers. He's famous for not having a smile when he was drafted by Philly a few years ago when he was watching the draft at his house. The camera went on him. It was delayed, so he didn't know he was on camera. But he just had a stoic stone look on his face.
Now, let me poke some holes in this.
Right.
He's been a hot pick. He was a top pick, right, for them?
He was number 3
Number
overall.
3. But he hasn't done much. He's been injured.
Well, he was a monster when he was playing, though.
Okay.
30 games this year, he was an all-star.
Okay, so he's coming back. I was going to say, I would question whether, because of his injury factors, that maybe he would rub off injuries to whoever the player is that they pick.
Injuries are contagious now. It's like the chicken pox. Got to avoid him. Can't come into contact.
Right.
You got to stay home.
Who else is going to be there?
Alonzo Mourning for the Miami Heat. He's a big 7-footer guy, so he can maybe be there with
He
Joel
was picked
Embiid.
Second the year he was picked, so they'll probably end up winning the number 2 pick, although I would think Miami would be thrilled with that.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is that these are all people who are used to having power, whether it's like Dave Yeager, who's a coach, Frank Vogel, who's a coach, Gentry, who's a coach, Magic Johnson, executive. These are powerful people in a situation where they're in front of the camera with no power at all, because it's all luck. They have no control over it. These are guys who are used to having so much control, whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, whether it's an executive. Their whole life is about control, being able to own the situation. They have no power here, which is fun. It is fun to see powerful people without any power.
The Bucks owner's daughter had as much power when she sat there as any of these other people.
Yeah, the Cavs and Dan Gilbert always sent a little kid there, and they kept getting the number 1 pick. So frustrating. Dan Gilbert, you write some letter in Comic Sans, and you end up getting the number 1 pick. But just to go along with this, I think it's the most important draft lottery ever. When you consider the prospects available, and we had Chip Williams
of NBA Draft Blog earlier on in the show, and he said Markelle Fultz is that dude. He's a number one pick who's worthy of a number one pick selection. He has the ability to be a franchise-changing guard, somebody who can score off the dribble, which is something that you need in the NBA. So he's a legitimate top pick. You also have other guys who have all-star potential, whether it's the Lonzo-LeVar Paul combination, or Jason Tatum from Duke, or Josh Jackson from Kansas. There are other prospects, even if you don't get the number one overall pick, who could certainly help your team and maybe be all-star caliber. So you have the talent there in this draft. This isn't supposed to be, the Anthony Bennett draft, where he was the number one pick. So you have the talent. You also have the NBA marquee teams that are in this. Celtics, because they have Brooklyn's pick, and Brooklyn had the worst record in the NBA. So Boston involved heavily. Lakers, not only involved, but drama. Will they get a pick or not? Philly, another team with an NBA tradition and history, who's at stake in this lottery? To the point where you can make the case those three franchises mean more to the NBA and the future success of those three teams, than who wins the NBA championship in 2017. Like the 2017 championship is good for 2017, and the Cavs and the Warriors or whoever it is can celebrate this title, but 5 to 10 to 15 years of success for the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Sixers, that means probably more to the NBA than who wins the NBA championship in any one year.
I have two drafts that I think will be far more important in the past than what Chris thinks this one's going to be this year. I'll tell you that next. You're listening to almost 100 years of Idaho sportscasting experience, sports broadcasting experience. Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris, Caves and Prater and JP. Idaho Sports Talk is 32 years old with almost 100 years of experience. Listen weekdays 1 to 6 on Sports Radio The Ticket. NBA Draft Lottery tonight, followed by Spurs and Warriors Game 2. Chris had said in Quick Hits that the Sacramento Kings would be the perfect landing spot for the Ball family. All the players could go there because they're not going to do very well. That is of the three sons. And the coach could be LeVar Ball, or LeVar Ball could be the GM, because Vlade Divac and the owner of the Kings are not getting it done. We have a text, Chris, on the commercial tire text line. Come on, Chris! This is only Vlade's second season in charge of the Kings. Give him a chance to see if he can or cannot succeed.
So how many bad trades do you want him to make in the next 2 years? That's the whole point. Like, he was the laughingstock of the NBA for the DeMarcus Cousins trade and what they weren't able to get for him. He made a couple of trades with the Sixers that at the time looked awful, and you're starting to see the reasons why it was bad, the fact that there was the pick swap this year and the fact that in, 2019, the Sixers will have the Kings pick. So I don't think y'all be any good in 2019 either. So that might have a chance to be the number one pick in the draft because, yes, that is unprotected. So if you want to continue to see what else he could do in the next 2 years, be my guest. But I want to guess that it's not going to be very good because, what is the saying? The future performance, the best way you can guess it is basing it off past performance. His past performance has been, I'm not making very good trades. So, hey, if you want him to continue to be your GM, though, go for it.
Chris said that this draft is the most important draft. Did you say ever or in a long time?
I said this lottery is the most important draft lottery ever.
Okay, so that means the lottery came into existence in 1985. I have two plus that I think this draft will be hard-pressed to beat the results of that draft lottery. And I'm going to start with 2003. Cleveland won the draft lottery to LeBron James. And Detroit was second and took Darko Milicic. I think had Detroit, Denver picked third, gotten the pick, and gotten LeBron, I think there'd be a lot of history that would be different. Whether LeBron would have ever gone to Miami, we don't know. Certainly Cleveland wouldn't have gotten to the finals early and turned the corner. So that one, I think, I find it hard-pressed that anybody in this group is going to be that much better than 2, 3, and 4 to make the difference for what LeBron was compared to some of the other people in 2003.
All right,
and
can I attack that one first, and then we can move on to your next one. All right, so that was Cleveland, LeBron, Detroit, Darko, Denver, Melo, Miami, then drafted Wade.
Well, he was eight. He was further down the line.
Further down, okay, and then Bosch was also a part of that draft. That was such a deep draft. It was a fantastic draft. But look at the teams that I just read off. Cleveland. Detroit's kind of, basketball traditional in tradition, at least when it had Isaiah Thomas. They have a history of being good. Denver. Toronto.
Those were the teams that were involved with this lottery.
All bad, or all be bad before this, except for Detroit.
Yeah.
And but, Detroit was bad at the time.
And as far as importance to the NBA, Cleveland, nah, I mean, they have LeBron James, which is nice, but LeBron could be on any team and make them relevant. Cleveland has no stake, but, really, in the NBA.
But my Denver, point is, no matter who got LeBron, yeah, LeBron's the best player ever to play. You can't tell me that whoever wins this is going to get a better prize correct than the 2003 draft with LeBron.
But it's not all about that. Some teams in the NBA mean more to the league. When I say importance, Cleveland is not that important to the NBA. Denver is just not that important. Their success is not important to the NBA. Toronto's success is not important to the NBA. Do you know who is? The Celtics. Their importance is big to the NBA. They're a traditional brand, powerhouse. They've always been good. Lakers, they're going to be on national TV regardless. They could be as bad as they've been within the last 3 years, and they're still on national TV quite a bit. Their success is important to the NBA, and they're a factor in this lottery. Sixers, it's been a while, but, you know, the Sixers still have a proud basketball and NBA tradition, and the league has cities like that where it is better when that team is better. The Knicks would be another one of these.
This goes more on the logic of my previous argument. I don't think there has been a draft that has been more important to the franchise and setting a franchise up than the 1987 draft when the Spurs won the lottery and took the Admiral David Robinson. And then when David Robinson was hurt, followed that up 10 years later by getting Tim Duncan. They beat out Phoenix and Philadelphia for David Robinson. Excuse me, Phoenix and New Jersey for David Robinson. Philadelphia and Boston were the two teams that they got in front of Tim Duncan. San Antonio has been a franchise now for 30 years because of what they did in the sweepstakes in 1987 with David Robinson.
Mm. Yeah, they haven't even missed the playoffs any of these years other than when they have like the number one pick of the draft and then they get another franchise guy and then they don't miss the playoffs again until that franchise guy gets hurt and then they'll get another one.
It's a franchise in which the only major league team in the city is the Spurs.
Yeah.
It's a team that came from the ABA. It's a team that without that pick, I don't think that franchise would be good.
So it was a very important lottery for them, right?
Absolutely. So in my opinion, the most important lottery as far as the talent, we may not be on the same page as far as you're looking at it from the league's perspective. I'm looking at it from the actual team's perspective. LeBron, Tim Duncan, and David Robinson as top picks, the people who were identified, made a bigger difference in that year than if they had gone to some other team.
So, all right, our definition of important might be a little bit different. To me, this is the NBA's most important lottery ever because of the teams in it. But not to say that this draft is the best ever, that there is for sure LeBron James or a Tim Duncan in this draft. We don't know that for sure. Maybe Markel Fultz turns out to be one of those type dudes. And then you have, well, Lonzo can be this Carmelo Anthony of this draft. And you could have Josh Jackson be the Dwayne Wade and Jason Tatum be the Chris Bosh, and it could be that deep. But given that they're talking about this draft, sort of like the 2003 draft, that there's a lot of guys who can be franchise-type players, and the franchises that they're going to are the Lakers. The Knicks are even a factor in this lottery. The Celtics, the Sixers. I think that's what makes it really fun. So one of the branches off of this is the fact that you have a lot of these high-profile teams in the lottery. What's the point of the lottery? Isn't the lottery supposed to dissuade teams from racing to the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole point of having this in there is to dissuade teams from losing on purpose. Could you really say that it's currently accomplishing that goal of dissuading teams from racing to the bottom?
No, because teams like the Sixers have actually had game plans to try to do that.
And let's throw the Lakers in there, too, because yeah, the Lakers have had incentive because of pick protections to make sure they're one of the worst teams in basketball.
Well, think of some teams, and the Hawks, to me, is the one that kind of comes to mind. They've been a middle team forever, either just missing the playoffs or just making the playoffs and then getting eliminated fairly quickly. And I think that teams look at that and say, if you want to grab the brass ring, you got to get bad to get good.
Mm-hmm. So are we doing this correctly? Could we be doing this in a system where, let's say, the team that gets closest to the playoffs but doesn't make the playoffs has the best odds at the number one pick, instead of the team with the worst record gets the number one pick because it continues to incentivize winning versus, well, if we know we're not going to win a championship this year, we can't make the playoffs, let's just do what the Lakers did and send our vets home and just play our young guys and get losses in the process. Although it's funny, they ended up winning five games in a row late last season.
The NFL is the league that we saw all the coverage for the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a league that is all about parity, bringing everyone to 500. So they have opted not to reward a team that is just missing the playoffs right around 500. And they reward a team that is terrible, that's like 2-14. I don't think the NFL, with their thoughts and how the league is operated, would ever consider going to a lottery, because their whole goal is for every team to be around 500 to have a chance. So they want to help the teams that are 2-14 a heck of a lot more than teams that are 8-8.
But that's the same logic that the NBA has and the NHL has and all the sports. We have a draft where the worst team gets rewarded is the element of parity. We're trying to make it so teams have hope. Fan bases have hope. You're not stuck in the basement forever. So that's the whole point of it. But the NBA gets criticized for having a system where it looks like teams are losing on purpose, but for some reason the NFL escapes that criticism.
But I think a lot of the other sports, the way the league rules are set up much more to benefit the traditional teams and the better teams. Baseball with their local TV monies, and you kind of keep what you earn. NBA, you've said before that the league is hoping for one of these big franchises to get the players.
Yeah, I love
I think
super
the NFL.
Teams.
I think the NFL is just the opposite. I think the NFL, you've got as much chance to make money if you own the team in New England as if you own the team in Los Angeles or if you own the team in Green Bay.
Yeah, I love super teams, and I think the audience, they say they don't, but you watch it more. The Warriors led the league this year when it came to national TV ratings. You guys wanted to watch them, even though you guys said you hated the idea of Kevin Durant joining the team. But the NBA owners and Adam Silver, what they preach is they want to have that parity system because they think from a business model standpoint, it makes sense when you don't have teams that are constantly at the bottom. So they want to put in rules that the NFL has, but then nobody criticizes the NFL for having a system where directly the worst team gets rewarded. You had a situation in the Andrew Luck draft where the Colts at the end of the year was putting together a roster that was not good. They did not put together the most optimal lineup when it came to winning because they wanted Andrew Luck, and it turned out really well. They got the number one pick that year. There was no lottery, of course, so they got the one, and now they have Andrew Luck. And granted, they can't build a team around Andrew Luck, but they have a quarterback that can probably make a deep run in the playoffs if they ever had a capable roster around him. It paid off. It worked. But nobody is saying that the Colts ruined the NFL for what they did for that one season where they darn near lost every single game that they played that season.
Fish, we've got an update coming up. What's going to be in it?
Well, former Broncos headed to play basketball in the Pac-12. The football team's added their first recruit of 2018. Plus, if you have an issue with James Harden, just make sure you don't post it on Facebook. You might lose your valuables.
Right now, we're going to be playing Touchdown for Tickets. Be the ninth caller to try and qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets. These tickets will be in Section 31, Row O. That's in the southeast end zone, more the east corner of the section, about halfway up. So good height, fun section to sit in, great view of the video board, and it's all sponsored by our friends at the Bronco Athletic Association. These tickets are worth $580 for the pair. Call 424-9300 now. We'll be playing Touchdowns for Tickets next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Second chance today to play Touchdowns for Tickets. We got a winner the first hour.
Yes.
Qualify. So at least we're one is going to be in the drawing at 5:30.
I want a 2-for-2 day. Yesterday we did it. It was just 1-for-2 on this show. And, you know, ISD had a couple of, or later on in ISD with Caves and Darren College, it was yesterday. They didn't have a 3-for-3 day. I wonder if we could ever get a 5-for-5.
In five qualifiers, 5:30, one winner will be selected for the pair of tickets, season tickets to Boise State football. All right, Greg is going to play. Greg, welcome to Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris. How are you today, Greg?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, so same question. You got six home games. Which one of the home games is the one that you're looking forward to the most?
Oh, it'd be whatever my boy wanted to go to at that point. So.
Okay, there you go. So early start time is probably a thing. You said your boy, so you probably don't want him to stay up too late, right?
That's a home game. He can stay up late.
Good dad. I like it. All right, Greg, we're going to play. We're going to have a clip. One of my calls from this past season, it's going to stop. When it stops, we're going to ask you whether the play ended up in a touchdown or not. If you guess it right, you get into the hopper to be a winner for season tickets tonight at 5:30. All right, Fish, let's play the first part of the clip. Rippon going long. He's got Spurbeck there. Hits him at the three, and he... Andy, what?
He gets a touchdown. He's in.
He seemed pretty close to the goal line. He said he's in. Let's hear it.
Rippon going long. He's got Spurbeck there. Hits him at the three, and he backwards walks in for the score. And Boise State ups the ante to 23-7.
Way to go, Greg.
2-4-2.
So be listening at 5:30 later this afternoon. You'll have right now at least a 1 out of 2 chance. Maybe 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, depending on how many others qualify. But pretty good opportunity to get season tickets to Boise State football.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Bob, good luck, Greg.
Do you know what game that was? Let's try to take this a step further. Walks bat pedals into the end zone. I can't tell you whether it's right or wrong. I'll tell you that up front.
I don't know myself. He had so many. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Wilson and Spurbeck and McNichols so many touchdowns.
Like, the ones that we've had were Cedric Wilson, he scored a lot of touchdowns. Jeremy McNichols, like, I would always say, yes, McNichols scored touchdowns. It seemed like every time he touched the ball. Well, he did touch the ball a lot, but he scored a handful of touchdowns, too. And then Spurbeck, of course. So when these guys get their hands on the ball, it's always tough to be able to discern whether it was a TD or not.
Can I give my biggest hint of the year?
Okay.
If Darren Lee on defense and Tyler Horton on defense end up with the ball on an interception, they score.
All right, there you go. You've got the secrets from Bob Beeler.
Whether they'll choose any defensive scores, I don't know.
You're not a part of that process.
No, I'm not a part of that process.
Horton's score was yesterday, I believe.
Which one?
Horton.
The Horton score was yesterday?
His score was yesterday.
They better have gotten that one.
Yeah.
They better have
gotten that one. That was yesterday. I don't know if Darren Lee is going to make the cut or not.
Isn't that too easy, though? Like, those are such...
Yeah. That was a freebie.
We need to get freebies, though. Nobody, you know, dislikes
He was at the 3-yard line there.
Really? 3 yards, that's 9 feet.
Yeah, he could have just fallen down.
Yeah, or you got to carry a tackler with you for another yard, right? But on this one, he was all alone. He backpedaled into the end zone.
The Idaho Sports Talk Sports Update is brought to you by the Wahi Tavern. $5 is all it takes for the hippest downtown Boise spot for happy hour. Meet your friends and bring your fives to the Wahi Tavern Steak and Sea on 11th and Main. Boise State football has added their first recruit to the class of 2018, Philip Mills, a safety out of California, committed to the Broncos on Twitter yesterday night. He had offers from Colorado State, New Mexico, San Diego State, Wyoming, Army, and Air Force, according to Scout.com. And he will be on Idaho Sports Talk today at 4:15 with Caves and Prater to explain his decision.
I had one of the ones I saw, which was, I think, a different recruiting service. They had Washington State, I think, in there, too. So a lot of good teams. Yep. Beat them out. I always look for who else is recruiting him, because that, to me, tells me what kind of player you're getting. Who else is fishing in that hole?
Doesn't hurt to have a Pac-12 team recruiting him. Speaking of the Pac-12, that's where Paris Austin is headed. Former Bronco announced on Twitter that he is heading to Cal to play point guard. He'll have to sit out next year. However, he'll have 2 years of eligibility following that after his redshirt year. So Paris Austin heading to the Pac-12.
And it's hard to imagine what the roster will be like when you have that year where you have to sit out. Because with college basketball, and Boise has known it all too well, and this is a mid-major, quote-unquote, program where the roster turnover is one that you don't necessarily expect. So with Paris, you can look at the roster and say, okay, he's leaving and he's there now. But who knows what it will actually be come the 2018-2019 basketball season.
I mean, you're looking at a Cal this year had a sophomore who was a high school teammate of Paris's, Ivan Rabb, at Bishop O'Dowd. Both of them played the same season as seniors at Bishop O'Dowd. Rabb averaged 14 points, 10.5 rebounds, and has his name in the NBA draft. So he was Cal's best player last year. Cal has a new coach, so maybe they'll go in a different style philosophy than what they had in the past. So you're right. No way of really – if he was a grad transfer, and you can kind of look at who's coming back, who's not coming back, much easier to say how Paris Austin fits with 2 years down the road. Who knows?
And James Harden, he's in the news. He has a lawsuit filed against him, and no, it's not for going missing in Game 6 of the semifinals in the Western Conference. This is by Moses Malone Jr., alleging that the Rockets superstar put a hit on Malone after a Facebook post that offended Harden. Malone was beaten and robbed by four men last June outside a Houston strip club. Just a day after a Facebook post by Malone was made, calling Harden cheap and criticizing him for charging $249 for a basketball camp, which shut out inner-city kids. Four men involved were arrested, and Harden was not charged. However, the lawyer for Malone says that the post was referenced in the attack, and that the camp has several witnesses that confirm that Harden was irate about the post the evening that it was made.
Okay, well, James Harden is just not a good week. And that's basically where it goes. You disappear in Game 5 because maybe you're exhausted. Game 6, you just never show up to that one, and you lose by 40 at home. And by the end of the week, you're with another the son of another Rockets legend, you're in a little bit of a scuffle with. It's just not a good week. Sometimes you have a bad week, and that just sounds like one of my bad... No, it actually doesn't sound like one of my bad weeks.
So if I hear you right, the alleged offense... Harden paid these guys $20,000?
No. Harden had a basketball camp for kids, charged $249 for it. Mm-hmm. Malone put out there and said, how can you do this? You're shutting out the inner city kids. Very next day, four men robbed and beat Malone, and the post was referenced in the attack. There's no word if he paid them, if he texted
them. No, I thought on something I saw claimed that they were paying them.
That may have been the claim, but... Right now, just an alleged attack over Facebook. So keep your negative Harden posts off Facebook.
I'm sure Harden will be devastated with this move and will be at the clubs later on tonight.
I see what you did there.
That's what he does.
Speaking about what they do, Lane Kiffin back in the news. The head coach at Florida Atlantic. Well, he's back to his old tricks. Made a verbal offer to Caden Martin, son of USC offensive coordinator T. Martin. T. Martin was the quarterback for the 1998 Tennessee Volunteers National Championship team. One issue with Caden, he's a 13-year-old 7th grader in California. Now, Kiffin did a similar thing back at USC when he offered then 8th grader David Sills a scholarship to play for the Trojans. Sills had quite the interesting path and now plays wide receiver for West Virginia.
Why does Lane Kiffin do these things? Does he really think like putting his name out there like this is beneficial for recruiting when it comes to guys who are actually, you know, in high school? Like, you know he's not going to be at FAU when he's ready to be a college athlete.
Well, you didn't know he's making FAU into a major power? No, they're going to be independent, exactly. Play everybody, if they're good, win the national championship?
If they're good, he's gone. That's the whole thing. If they're good, he's gone. He's somewhere else. And if they're bad, he's gone because he's embarrassing the program. So you're not going to be there for this long. So there has to be some reason you're doing this that you think it benefits
publicity.
You to get your name out there in the headlines like this. But at this point, like, isn't the thing that Kiffin has to do to prove that he is capable of leading a major program is be able to lay low? Mm-hmm. Like, have success, but lay low a little bit. I think that's what he needs to prove to a lot of the other Power Fives to get another Power Five head coaching job. It's not this.
That may be harder for him than winning.
I mean, it really might be, but that's what you have to show. And doing this is not showing that you have the ability to lay low and have success.
I mean, here's the thing. You offer a 7th grader or an 8th grader. If the kid ends up not growing, not being good, whatever, they're going to pull that offer off the table.
Yeah, but why have the offer there in first place? Like, what does he have to gain by having this story?
Because we're talking about him.
Yeah,
we're talking about Lane Kiffin
but
in Florida,
like,
Atlantic.
Again, that's the one thing that he doesn't need is people talking about him for things that have nothing to do with whether you're winning or losing. That's what's costing him opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the fact that people think he's a sideshow clown, and instead of being an actual head football coach. I don't get it. I don't know who this benefits.
And bad news for Kiffin, if somehow he is here when this kid is out of high school. His dad, Caden's dad, T. Martin, has said that Caden, who has a fastball that reaches the upper 80s and his team made the Little League World Series final, is not going to specialize in football yet. So he may not even be playing football in 4 years. He's going to play football, basketball, and baseball going forward. So he could be a multi-sport athlete and go in baseball, and Lane Kiffin's offer will never make any sense.
Good for him diversifying yourself. Specialization, everybody doesn't like that. I like when you play multiple sports.
Speaking of specialization, former Boise State running back Jay Ajayi specialized in 200-yard games last year. He had three of them. NFL Network every year has their top 100 players as voted on by other players. Ajayi came out. They released numbers 70 through 61. Ajayi was number 69 after making the Pro Bowl and rushing for 1,200 yards. So there you go. Some love for a former Boise State Bronco.
And then cue all the Twitter comments. Nice.
Yep. Yep. And we'll end the sports update. College football is planning on bringing a Super Bowl-style halftime show In 2018, according to the Associated Press, the new format now will not bump out the traditional halftime band show, as the performance will be held in Centennial Olympic Park near the new Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where the playoff will be held. The marching band halftime show will still be broadcast on a channel as part of the event, so I'm assuming they're going to want people to leave the stadium, watch their A-lister, and then come back?
No, they can't. If the A-lister's outside, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, here's me. And maybe I'm the only person you guys can accuse me of being the dumbest person around. Who was in the national championship? Was Clemson and Alabama?
Yep. Yeah.
I'd rather watch the Clemson and Alabama bands in the
you
Super Bowl.
You may have
showdown.
To change channels.
I would.
You'd have to change channels and then change back. But I don't understand. If he's at the A-lister, which is what they're going for, is outside the venue, how are the fans in the stadium going to get out there?
Unless they just show it on the big Jumbotron.
Jumbotron concert for the win, everybody.
After the two bands play.
Or during, potentially.
Well, then why would they put it up on the show, on the scoreboard? You wouldn't be able to hear it. So I don't know. I'd rather have the Clemson and Alabama bands. That's my vote.
I don't want a long halftime, actually. Have a short halftime. We'll get these teams back on the field.
I think we're going
well, if you're not getting it, you're getting a longer halftime now. Be listening next hour for another chance to win in touchdowns for tickets. And then every day at 5:30 with Caves and Prater, you'll see who wins. Get your season tickets now at Boise State. Gives you the best pricing per game, the best seats. The opportunities also to purchase additional home game tickets as well as road and bowl games as well. That's touchdowns for tickets on your FM home for Boise State football, Sports Radio, The Ticket. When we come back, I'm going to like the review of yesterday's picks. I'm happy. Chris isn't. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
It's time to consult the Magic 8 Ball. Open up a fortune cookie or maybe even flip a coin.
I get him. Into the future.
However they do it, it's time for some quick picks and predictions with Bob and Chris.
And quick picks and predictions is sponsored by Pro-Am Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist with high-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, and accessories located right inside Westie's Garden Lane in Garden City. And Bob is now out to a roaring lead. You guys went different on all three yesterday, and Bob had the clean sweep. The Celtics win. They beat the Wizards. No overtime, though. This game was scoreless deep into the third period. We were pretty close for overtime between Ottawa and Pittsburgh. And Bob went with his Giants on their three-game winning streak. It's now four after they beat the Dodgers. So, Chris Lewis, you're now down two games. Bob's 5-1 this week. You are 3-3 after your first 0-3 week, I believe.
Yeah, first 0-3 day. Now, Boston and Washington. That's where it really hurts because how many times does Boston need to win? Like, we just need to slow this down. They're not even a good basketball team. Look at the roster. It's not good. Isaiah Thomas and then a bunch of B-minus players. Al Horford, I'll give you a B+. Outside of that, it's B-minus to C players. This is not an Eastern Conference Finals roster. All right, they have maybe a good coach who I don't like, Brad Stevens. He was a coach at Butler when they beat Syracuse, so I'm still a little bit bitter. But that's not a good team. Meanwhile, Washington, you had two sports where you had rosters that were probably superior to the team that you were facing. You had a Game 7 in two different sports, one of them at home, one of them on the road. You couldn't win any of them? Washington is a city. You should just be ashamed of your teams. How do you let this happen? Two sports, hockey and basketball, and two underachievers. Can't believe it.
Last week, the turning point was when Washington lost to Boston.
Yep.
And I learned. I went with Boston. Washington. They didn't get it done for me, and I allowed Chris to come back and take the week. I paid attention. I went with Boston. Washington's not going to beat them. Washington hasn't done anything since 1979.
That's a bad city, apparently.
Well, they've been eliminated from all the postseasons available, so they won't be able to beat
them. And I'll tell you, the closest one all night was whether the game was going to go to overtime.
That was a lot closer.
There was one goal in the game, and Ottawa got hurt by the fact that there was a penalty at the end of the game where it kind of took the momentum away from their ability to pull the goalie. And then, of course, just thrilled that the Giants. If I was going to only win one, I'd want the Giants to win.
Of course. Well, we'll start with hockey, Bob. You'll lead us off. You were 3-0. Game 3, Anaheim at Nashville. Series tied at 1. Who you got winning, Bob?
Nashville's going to win at home tonight. They're going to take a 2-1 lead. I think this is a series that's going to go a long way. I think they're going to go 6 or 7 games. Nashville wins at home to take a 2-1 lead tonight.
Chris?
I'm going to go with Nashville, too. I'm going to go home team, home ice advantage. Hopefully this is a long series, and I have more chances to make up ground with this later on.
Well, maybe you can make up some ground here. We had the Giants yesterday. We're going to go with the Phillies today. They're playing the current hottest team in baseball, the Texas Rangers. They have a 6-game winning streak, the longest current winning streak in the majors. Chris, who gets the win tonight? The Rangers going for their 7th in a row? Or the Phillies? You've got Yu Darvish versus Jared Ickhoff for the Phillies.
It was 0-3 with a 4.76 ERA. And Yu Darvish is on my fantasy team, but the Phillies are my actual team. And I can't... how many times have we had the Phillies in this?
This is the first.
So I have to go with them, despite the fact that the Phillies are one of the coldest teams in baseball, and the Rangers are probably the hottest team in all of baseball. And the fact that they haven't been in Texas since, 2014. I saw a tweet of the lineup back in 2014 that was the Phillies lineup when they were in Texas.
And you were missing those days,
I was missing it, man. Oh, they had the power bats.
That team is not playing tonight.
They're ready to go. But nah, it's not coming. Nope.
Bob? Well, you're going to leave me the team that's won 6 in a row.
Yeah.
The team that's at home. And Yu Darvish pitching against who?
Jared Ickhoff.
Yeah.
Is he pronouncing it right?
Ickhoff, but that's okay.
Yu Darvish is going to win this game. Thank you, Chris. I'm going with Texas.
And we'll end game 2 between the Warriors and Spurs is tonight. It'd be boring to pick that. I think we could all assume Golden State's probably going to win with Kawhi Leonard out. We'll change it up a little bit. Higher total, Klay Thompson's points scored for the Golden State Warriors winning margin. Klay Thompson averaging 15 a game. Before this series, the Warriors were winning by 15.6. Klay Thompson only had 6 points in game 1. So, Bob, higher total, Klay Thompson points, Golden State winning margin.
Tough choice, because the more points that Klay Thompson scores, maybe more likely the margin of victory is going to be. I'm going to say Klay Thompson's going to score more points than they're going to win by. And this is just the toss of the coin. I could see it going either way, but I'm thinking Popovich is a good coach. They know that Leonard's not going to play. He'll find something to keep it kind of close. I'll say Thompson scores more.
Chris?
I went with Klay Thompson points as well. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I've learned my lesson. Game 6 of the last series, Kawhi didn't play. Houston was a good team, and the Spurs won it in Houston by 40 points. So when are we going to stop saying that, the Spurs have no shot when they're missing their best player? No, they're going to have a shot. They're well coached. Simmons in the starting lineup. Not the player that Kawhi is, but he can defend a little bit. He can defend a lot of it, actually. Their scheme will keep it close within 10 points.
And to recap, you guys both have Nashville at game 3. You're split on the Rangers and Phillies. Bob's got the Rangers winning. Chris has got his Phillies. And you both believe Klay Thompson's going to have a higher total of points than the Golden State winning margin in game 2.
Jeff Cade's in studio. He and Mike Prater will be set to take over in a matter of minutes. They'll also have 3 more qualifiers for touchdowns for tickets.
Look, I need all the luck tonight. Save it all for me.
Sixers. Chris wants the Sixers.
Yes. 1-4 is the best case scenario for Philly. Worst case is just the 6 pick.
And if so, you might not be in the studio tomorrow.
Yeah,
you'd be crying.
That'd be sad.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1. Will Chris be smiling when we return? Caves and Prater coming up next, along with more touchdowns for tickets. Keep it tuned to Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.